Royce Unchained, brought to you by our friend Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold, investment consultant. And Patrick, the last time we talked to you for Unchained was on Tuesday. Plenty has happened since then. Kirk Cousins is a Falcon. Sam Darnold is a Viking. Your thoughts on what has transpired so far with the Vikings?
Well, I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning. I was laying on the couch and fell asleep. I turned on SportsCenter to see what I'd missed because last I looked was about 10. And there was Kirk on the, now it was obviously a replay, but he was on with Van Pelt wearing his suit and just telling us about these big expectations for the Falcons. And, this was after, when did he have his heartfelt send off to the, that was a special video that he sent out, that was only for the Minnesota audience, or what was it?
He tweeted out like that? a little thank you Minnesota video that was 90 seconds from the family and that type of stuff.
All right, and did we get some people get very emotional about that? Did they? They're going to miss him? I don't know. Last time we talked, we were talking about this McCartney. What an agent this guy is, and it's pretty amazing that he's getting that kind of a deal. I don't know. They can get out from under him after two, right? If it doesn't work out,
right? But he got the 50 mil per guaranteed, and that's what he wanted ultimately.
Yeah, right. Yes, and where do we assume the Vikings were willing to go?
As far as the money goes?
2 years, 40 maybe?
Yeah, I'd say around 40-something.
Yeah.
Not 50.
But 2 years, not 50. No, everybody's better off. Now, I don't know if Darnold can play. I don't know. When's the last time he actually played when he was the starter?
Carolina.
He failed with the Jets and Carolina. He didn't do much either a couple of years ago. So, when did we decide that he was overrated fraud?
I think at the end of the Jets.
Get her done with the Jets, right?
Yeah, I think at the end of the Jets, we decided he probably was not good. But the Jets are drafted into hell, basically, if you're taken by the Jets, it looks like. So
the way things are going, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can. When we talked Tuesday, though, I was with you that, Pelissero or somebody had this figured out all along. So our guy O'Connell has no background with Darnold, though. So this is somebody else deciding he can play, huh?
Well, I think it's O'Connell. So the tie-in is that the quarterback's coach now, McCowan. He was Darnold's teammate with the Jets, and O'Connell is buddies with Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan had Darnold as his backup last year. Those are the two tie-ins.
Okay. Oh, yes. That's right. McCowan is, that's the new quarter. So when they hired McCowan, which was about a week ago, 10 days, something like that.
Probably two weeks ago.
They pretty much knew all this was going to happen then, do you think? Can we pretty much guess that? But McCollin's an addition, right? He's not a, what do we got now? 25 assistant coaches, basically? We upped the number again. We hired
him. We're not firing him. Yeah. We're just reassigning him to different jobs. They took the quarterback's coach, and I think he's now the pass game coordinator. Okay. They brought McCowan in as the quarterback's coach. They're threatening to give the assistant quarterback's coach a new title to reflect what he really does. So, yeah, the assistant coach is incredible.
Oh, God, and the number is fantastic. It was, when it was 22, the late, great Bud's mind was being blown when he found that out. Now that it's 25 or 6, he must really... I know that at 22 assistants, I think the Vikings were a little below average, weren't they? As Bud said, how do you keep track of all of them? How do you get them? How do you keep track of what everybody's doing? So,
did you see in the press conference Kirk's not so subtle jab at the Vikings?
No, I didn't.
He said that he thinks that the Falcons have a great chance to win because the owner, the GM and coach quarterback are all on the same page. And that is paramount.
So what was, who's not on the same page? Is he suggesting the GM and the coach?
No, I think he's saying the coach was on the same page. He's either saying the owner and GM weren't on his. So basically what he's saying is they're not on Kirk's page. So it's the Wilfs and Kwesi or one of those two that weren't on the correct page to give Kirk what he wanted.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I couldn't. Well, obviously Kwesi wasn't, right? I mean, Kwesi wants to draft and, you know. I think the Vikings have done exceedingly well so far in this postseason. They don't have a quarterback. And now we're seeing, what was the report that they are, the whole organization is absolutely crazed attempting to find the right quarterback and get their Patrick Mahomes type of guy. So that, where'd that report come from? That was
Florio, who's a huge Vikings fan and tends to get very pissed off if things don't go like he wants them to go.
Yes. You know, and if that's the case, then they're obviously going to trade up. They're not going to sit around. If there's a guy they want, they're going to get somewhere where they're sure to get one. But, you know, they want to get their own Patrick Mahomes. Well, who doesn't? You know, for God's sakes. And, you know, that doesn't, the fact that you want to find that guy doesn't mean you are going to, you know.
Correct.
So, I don't know. It's, so what do we have left now? It is kind of good to see him. You got to sign JJ, but to see them on the first day signing people instead of waiting for the third or fourth when to get the fifth best guy at a position instead of one of the first or second best guys at the position. Quarterback thing is unbelievable. I mean, the running back thing, those unbelievable. You see the deal that Eckler had to take? He got no money at all. That was the guy that was linked before Aaron Jones, that was linked to the Vikings. They could have got him for nothing. Although I'm a big Aaron Jones fan, so I think that's a terrific move.
Yeah, it was the first time in a long time, Pat, they actually had a big spending day on free agency. I'm trying to remember obviously they signed Kirk in 2018, but in terms of the flurry of moves, was it like 2014 when they signed Linval and they brought Matt Castle back kind of as a bridge, just like Sam Darnold? Captain Munderland, I think, might have even been part of that same year. This is the first time I can remember in a very long time that they actually had a bunch of money to spend on free agency in one day.
Although, I was reading Craig's piece this morning, they still have a huge amount of dead money, right?
Most in the NFL.
Or something.
Yes, for this year.
And for this year. So that means once next year they're going to have so damn much with the $30 million raise. Now, I don't know, and not signing Danny Hunter.
Yep.
And, you know, they got a couple of expensive pass rushers, but not break the bank expensive pass rushers. They're going to have enormous amount of money to spend at this time of year from now, right?
They're going to be top five.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be near the top. So, yes, they can basically go out and call their shots in free agency next March.
Now, do you think, you know, I'm not saying Ziggy because I don't know if he's, but you think Mark Wolf has been in football long enough now to think that he can, that he should be making some decisions too, that he should be, we should use his expertise too? Do you think
that's a great question?
When Kirk's saying that, do you think Mark's is influencing? I know he can influence whether they want to spend the money,
right?
But he doesn't think he knows anything about football, does he?
That's a really good question. I don't think they are really influential probably in like defensive personnel, right? But when it comes to Kirk, it doesn't take a lot to say we've been paying this guy a lot for one playoff win. So I think if I was Mark in that case, I'd probably say, do we really want to give this guy $50 million guaranteed per season, two playoff appearances, and one career playoff win?
Yeah, well, I think the owner's certainly entitled to say that. But as far as
I don't know about
them then what do we do next is probably not. You don't want him deciding which one of the quarterbacks to take or what you're going to
do. No, I hope not.
But to spend, you know, I mean, I'm sure that they've been frustrated, not because, I mean, they're making $250 million a year, so they obviously are going to spend to the cap. But when it's $58 million of dead money, does that mean that goes right into your profit?
You know,
when you're not spending it?
No, I don't think so. I think it sits there as a, like, I don't think it's real. I think it's baked into your cap, but it's because it's been paid out.
Yeah, it's been paid.
So no, I don't think it's real. I think it's an accounting number.
Yes,
is what
yes.
it comes down to.
Okay, but
so yeah, they're not pocketing it to build the fence around the stadium, for instance. No, I'm pretty sure.
No, because they're not spending anything to build the fence around the stadium or anything else. They're making you poor saps spend it.
So I shouldn't have mentioned it. I just couldn't help myself.
Taxpayers.
Sorry.
They're trying to get the state of Minnesota to do that for them. So, because the fact that they want an improved computer system to run better ads doesn't mean they should have to pay for it.
Have you seen that little scoreboard? That little mini scoreboard they got.
Yes, let's get a bigger one.
It's like a 1967, you know, big TV. You need a new one.
That's right. And the people running the stadium, you need a, if Taylor comes back to town, you need a bigger scoreboard so the 65,000 people can see her better when they're paying big money to come and watch her. Because I still don't get that out. We go and we watch her on this video board and we get very excited. I don't quite understand that, but I guess, you know, that's me. I'm just don't figure it out. So our Gophers fighting for their lives here in just a little bit, considering what we're, you know, boy, that's quite a tournament. Your second day. You got the home team playing at 11 o'clock in the morning in a game they're unlikely to win. That's the excitement. Why don't they, you know, it's the quarterfinals. Why do you have to play them why don't you juggle at the starting time?
That's what I'm wondering.
What difference does it make? You know, it's really stupid.
Like who's going to duck out of work for the most part on a Thursday at 11 to go watch a Gopher basketball team that couldn't draw when they played across town.
Yes. Yes. I saw some people celebrating the fact that gals celebrating the fact that you can get tickets for $3 today for some of their yesterday. You can get tickets for $3. Well, guess what? On Wednesday and Thursday, you get tickets for $3 when Caitlin was in town too, because she didn't play till Friday. It's not like throughout the whole tournament, people were fighting to get into the arena for the preliminaries of the Big Ten Women's Tournament either, but. Caitlin, obviously, the prices were a lot higher than they're going to be for this, and the crowds are a lot larger. But let's not be comparing Wednesday's ticket prices for the men with the Caitlin ticket prices on Sunday, okay? There's a little difference here. I'm not denying the Caitlin phenomenon, but we had a good item today about Brian Cosgrove, who's now the Minnetonka coach. He coached at Hopkins and put together that all-star team, and now he's done so at Minnetonka. He took a couple, 3 years off, stated that he thinks Paige Beckers is a better player than Caitlin.
Really?
And he's in the paper today saying that. Now, she's had three different injuries, and she's healthy now, and she's playing really good. And she was the National Player of the Year as a freshman before she started having injuries. And I'm not denying her excellence, but different kind of players. Paige is playing with, you know, she's an assist type of player, and she can play the all around game. And Caitlin leads the world in assists too, but on that Iowa team, Caitlin has to go get it for her. You know, she got to go get the points. Paige doesn't have to do it quite as much as UConn. So I don't know about that. But Paige is, I'd take her, although she's going back to UConn. So she's already said she's not going to the WNBA.
Mm-hmm. Pat, do you have any pick? I forgot that I woke up this morning and I completely didn't even realize the Players was going on this weekend. The Players Championship in the PGA. Rory McIlroy off to a nice start so far. The first nine hole, he is leading 5 under as we record this at about 9:50.
Yeah. I was watching actually the preview a couple of nights ago, Chamblee and those guys, and this course is only 7,200 yards. They it's a course designed with water on every hole, and it's mm-hmm. to make you move the ball, but. They're here and there, and but the only way not to shoot a low number is to hit it in the water someplace, because yeah. They're gonna it's there's apparently no place to go as far as making it longer or anything. So but they grow in the rough like 4 inches. The first cut of the rough, and then the second cut is cabbage. I don't think I have a prediction. No, probably not. I mean, it's it was funny. I was listening to Chamblee though, and this guy from the British side that they used for this event, can't remember what his name is, but he said last night that he said, there's 30 players here that are playing live, that so the field isn't as strong as it has been, because there's 30 guys that'd be here that are playing in live. And Chamblee got very upset because, of course, Brandel is the number one hater of Liv, and has staked his claim onto it. And he says there's 4 or 5 important players, and they were arguing, and Brandel was trying to the night before. Brandel was trying to make the difficulties of that course and hitting, you got to hit it straight, you got to move it left to right and all those things. But the other guy was saying, it's too short. they can just tear it up with the modern game. They just hit it over all the trouble. So I don't know. Everybody's picking Scheffler, and he's certainly playing great. But it's more of a putting contest now, I think, yeah. And I wouldn't pick him to win it, but I don't know who exactly. It would be nice if Rory could play good, because he hasn't been playing good, but he's not a putter either. So
I thought Liv and the PGA were in some type of merger talks months ago. What the hell happened?
And nobody knows, because they went out and stole John Rahm after the whole thing. The whole thing, I don't think it's.
It's going to take some time. Like, it's going to take like a year or two, I think.
We figured it. We don't.
But I mean, are they now not talking again because of the John Rahm thing?
No, they're talking. Even Jay Monahan gave an update the other day and said it's ongoing and we're discussing with them.
But,
so
but it isn't finalized, but they're still stealing guys. Yeah. Again. I mean, look at the. I wouldn't watch Liv if they were playing in my backyard, because I don't care about seeing the same 48 guys and then the goofy team name. The Crushers are leading the tournament. It was great. I heard a guy the other day on it for 2 minutes saying, what a contest for the team champion. What are you talking about, you jackass? Nobody knows. Who cares if the Crushers beat the, Annihilators?
Two names. Come on, it's all you need, Pat.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. I wouldn't watch it, but there's no doubt that when you look at the guys that have been winning and the leaderboard and then the secondary tournaments, what has really hurt them is that the secondary tournaments, if you're not one of the designated events, you're a glorified Corn Ferry event that used to be the, the Nike event. I mean, there's some of the guys that are lead winning this year are I don't know, who do they got left? They got Rory, Justin, who's not playing that good. They got Scheffler. What if they come over and get Scheffler? I don't think he doesn't seem to be that kind of guy.
No.
He's got no life, right, Scheffler? I mean, is he married? Is he even married? I think he doesn't have any little kids running out and kissing him after he wins, like Phil Mickelson did for all those years. He used to rent kids.
I was gonna say those kids were hired.
Yeah, they never got bigger. Every year they were still five. I don't know how that happened, but there's no doubt that that the viewership of LIV is non-existent, but the viewership of the PGA Tour so far has been awful. And we'll see if anybody watches the players. I mean, the Masters, we would presume, because you're going to have LIV guys at the Masters.
Yep.
But we'll see how the viewership is there. But so far, the Tour numbers are way down. And they're really worried about money. They're losing money. They pretty much have told the events that it's up to them to figure out how to raise charity money because they're making the purses so damn large. You know, they're basically taking all the sponsors' money and putting it into purses and leaving very little for charity. So a guy like Hollis has got to go out and hustle up the charity money on his own, pretty much. So.
Interesting stuff.
Golf's in trouble anyway because it's golf. It's it's not exactly a sport made for the Instagram world. So it's relied on us 70-year-olds anyway to watch it, and it's in trouble now. There's no doubt about it. But sorry for not answering your question.
No, you're okay, Pat. You're okay.
I don't know. We got guys winning the events. I've never heard of Hopberg and guys like that.
Well, we're entering, players this weekend. We're about a month from the Masters, so golf season's upon us. So I always like chatting golf with you when we can.
Although in Minnesota, golf season's been upon us since February 10th.
It didn't end. What are you talking about?
Gophers played a baseball game yesterday, their earliest ever at home by 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
The times they've done it in the past at the end of March was just out of desperation that they played and it was 40 degrees and snowing. And yesterday it was like, yeah, let's play two. I told you guys, the top came down 2 days ago. I was driving around. I said, I'm going to put the top down. It's March.
Who's complaining?
I'm playing my first round on Saturday, Pat, and I'll be freezing my arse off. It will be cold on Saturday. It'll be about a high of 40 and windy, but I don't care. I'm done waiting. I've waited 5 months and I'm ready to play. So I'll freeze my butt off on Saturday, but I'm fine with that.
But I look out at the lawns here in the neighborhood right now, and it looks like August because there's when you've had one of those heat waves and you haven't put any water on your lawn.
Yeah. it looks like crap.
It is going to be oof. Now, I always say 88, I think, is the year when I played more golf than I ever did. It was a great drought year. It was a fantastic drought year. You could get an extra 25 yards if you kept in the middle. And it was great, but I'm a little worried about this one. When the drought starts in January.
In the winter, yeah.
There's a little more of a dry, a little more concern. Remember last year? I mean, we were driving around at this time. It was starting to melt. And the river was coming out of its banks. I don't know.
We're a long way from that. Yeah, all right, Roycey. Yeah. We'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
All righty. Go Gophers. Win one from Marcus. Come on. God almighty. I'm very worried about his health. So, okay.
Thanks, Pat.
Bye.
All right, Roycey Unchained on the Score North YouTube channel and the Apple and Spotify Score North app podcast feeds. We'll talk to Pat tomorrow.